Thank you. Now I'd like to invite the boys and girls, young people, members of our church school program to come join me at the front for a few moments. Please feel free to come forward. Come all this way over here. Hi, Lord. Come on over this way a little bit. Sit where you can see the picture here, okay? How are you, Bridget? Hi, guys. How are you? Darcy, how you doing? Hi, guys. How are you? Come on down. All right. Good to see all of you today. And the picture sitting in front of here is about a very, very special lady that I'm going to be talking about to everyone else a little bit later in the service. But I wanted to say a few things to you now. Her name was Dorothea Dix. As you can see, she lived she was born over 200 years ago up in a little community up in Maine. And she has a really amazing story. She was also a Unitarian, attended a Unitarian church in Boston when she moved there. But she has a very interesting life story. I want to tell you just a little bit about it. She was born into a very little rural village way up in Maine, and it was not a very happy situation for her. It was not a very good family situation. The family was poor. The father drank a little more than he should. Her mother was sick quite often. And so she was just not in very good, she was not a very good place for her. She was not very well loved or cared for. But she had a grandmother who lived in Boston, who was pretty well off. And her grandmother, for her birthday, when she was 12 years old, sent her a silver dollar. Now, I meant to bring a silver dollar with me, and in my haste in getting out of the house this morning, I forgot to put it in my pocket, but a silver dollar. In 1802, or 18, she would have been, this would be 1814, she was 12 years old, a silver dollar was worth a good deal of money, a lot more than a dollar can get you right now. And so Dorothea, even though she was 12 years old, she knew she wanted to get away from her family situation, and she knew that she'd probably be better off if she were in Boston with her grandmother. So even though she was 12, she went down into the nearest town, bought herself a ticket on a stagecoach. You know what a stagecoach is? It's a thing pulled by horses. There were no cars, no buses, no trains, anything like that. She got a stagecoach, and she rode that to Boston, and she showed up at her grandmother's door asking if her grandmother could take care of her, which her grandmother did. Her grandmother took her in, gave her good food to eat, good clothes to wear, sent her to school. But the sad part was her grandmother was not a terribly kind and loving person. She was a very strict, stern person. So even though Dorothea was in a better living situation, she still wasn't being very well cared for. She wasn't being very well loved. So what I'm going to do is read you a little bit of Dorothea's story. And even though I've got a voice that probably doesn't sound like Dorothea Dix would, I want you to imagine that she is telling you this story. This takes up after she's moved to Boston and is living with her grandmother. One day, on the way home from school, a poor, ragged child asked me if I would teach him to read. I realized there must be many children in Boston who had no chance to go to school. Could I possibly convince my grandmother to let me open a free school for them in the hayloft over the carriage house? At first she said, no, I'll not have beggar children running around the yard of this house. But when I got very sick, I think she was afraid I would die, she said to me, all right then, have your school for beggar children. As soon as I was well enough, I opened up the school and I called it The Hope. So I was teaching school for wealthy Boston children during the day and a free school for poor children in the afternoon and evening. At night I wrote books for children, but soon I got worn out and sick and had to stop. I had tuberculosis, that's a very serious illness. The doctor sent me to Europe to regain my health. I almost died and was told never to work again in my life. But I came back to Boston, and one day I heard someone was needed to teach Bible classes to women imprisoned in East Cambridge Jail. I offered to do it. While I was there, I heard a scream coming from somewhere below. The jailer told me it came from one of the insane women locked up in the prison. I insisted he show me where these mentally ill people were being kept. I was horrified to discover them in cold, dark cells and cages with only a bit of dirty straw to sleep on. So what do you think she did? Let's go on and see what she did. I reported all this to the county commissioners, but they didn't believe me. I turned to help from my minister, the famous Unitarian, Dr. William Ellery Channing. He and his wife were my dear friends. Dr. Channing suggested I ask certain well-known men in the church to visit the jail and see for themselves. Everybody would believe them. One of the men was Samuel Ridley Howe, who started the first school for the blind in America. Another was Horace Mann, who worked to make schools for all children in the nation. They investigated and they reported in the newspapers that everything I said was absolutely true. After that, I visited every jail and poorhouse in Massachusetts, and there I found mentally ill people locked in closets, cellars, stalls, and cages. I sent a long report to the Massachusetts legislature, and they voted to build a mental hospital for these people. Then I did some investigating, state after state, and even in Europe. Because of all this, new laws were passed to protect the mentally ill, and over 30 mental hospitals were built. Yet I always said, hospitals are not enough. Give the people love. As a child, I had known what it meant to be lonely and neglected. Those memories and my Unitarian faith in the worth of all persons helped me to work to help the mentally ill until I was 80 years old. Well, that's a very amazing story about a woman who had a lot of love and a lot of care in her heart, especially when she didn't get too much of it when she was growing up and decided she wanted to use that to help other people. That's one of the reasons we have much better ways of treating people who have mentally ill or have some kind of problems. One of the reasons they get much better treatment now than they did a couple hundred years ago is because someone like her cared about them very much. And she took her reasons for doing this from some of the things she learned about what it meant to be a loving and caring person in the Unitarian Church that she attended. I hope you'll think about that. I hope you'll think about ways you can also be a loving and caring person for the people around you, both at the age you are now and as you continue to get older. So thank you for being here. You can go to your classes now. If you're a parent here with your child for the first time and need some direction, Mickey Saunders has a sign back there. It says, welcome new students, and you can check with her. Let's sing together as we leave this friendly place.